It's time for the Swap Shop Hour. Give us a call at 740-383-9944. It's time for Swap Shop. Come on, friends. If you're going to sell it, we're going to tell it. So pick up your phone and let me make it perfectly clear. It's time for Swap Shop. Good old Swap Shop. We're going to try and sell it here. 740-383-9944.
GH107.1 FM radio. This is our second hour, and I have with me today Annette Johnson. She's a songstress and an author. And those of you who may be who have listened probably the first hour, here is part two. And don't forget that we stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com, and you can download free app called TuneIn and search on any electronic device WWGH. If you have any questions or comments, please call 740-383-9944. And I will repeat this thought for today. Peace. It does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, no trouble, or any hard work to be done. It means to be in the midst of those things and still be calm in your heart. And that is from an unknown author. So remember, the word is peace. Maybe some of you can remember the Flower Children back in the 70s, and they put up those peace signs all the time, and we wore bell bottoms and hip huggers back in the day. Peace, everyone would say peace. So let that stick with you. Peace. We all need peace. Now we're going to continue with our second hour with Annette Johnson. So lock and load. Hi, Annette.
Hi. It's good to be back with you again.
Yes.
Yeah, we were talking about before we went on break there, and how that these missionary people would pass out Bibles and everything, and would take me to a restaurant and all of that, and preach to me from day to day and day in and day out, and how much I hated it. And I finally saw a church, and I would drive around that church, and God say, go into that parking lot, you know, go into that church. And I would not go into the church. And I sit out in that parking lot. I sit in that parking lot, and it seemed to be for 6 months. I sit in that parking lot while church service would go on the inside. And I knew people were looking strange at me, mm-hmm. sitting in there. They'd be all going into the church, and I'd be sitting right there. I wanted to be a Christian, but I knew I was an alcoholic.
Right.
So I just couldn't fathom, you know, going inside the church. After a while, God kept ministering to my heart, and I would hear the music in the church, and I'd think, oh, I would love to go in, you know. So one time I snuck in the back, and I'm sitting on the back pew of the church, and I'm hearing this pastor, and he sounds so sweet, and he reminds me of my dad. And I'm sitting there thinking, God, you know, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian, but I can't. I can't. I can't stop drinking.
Right.
And so for 2 years, I would go to church, sit in the back, tell God I wanted to be a Christian, but I couldn't. And I'd hear all these stories of how God delivered people, and I'd think, but he hasn't done that for me. So I would go home, and I would lay in my bed at night screaming to God, screaming the top of my lung. People had to have thought I was crazy. Why can't I stop drinking?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I stop? I want to. I want to be a Christian. I want to be. you know. And one night, in the middle of the night, I heard God speak and tell me that my head and my heart was not going in the same direction. And that made sense to me. Mm-hmm. In my heart, I wanted to be a Christian. In my head, I was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And I loved all the things that to do with that.
Right.
I loved the partying and the carrying on and all of that. And my head and my heart were going totally two different directions. And that night, I prayed. And I prayed in my bed and I said, God, please let my heart and my head go together, go in the same directions.
Right.
I want to be a Christian. I want to be. And so that weekend come and I thought, I'm going to try one day not drinking. Just one day. I don't think I'll make it, but I'm going to try.
Right.
And so that day came and I got through it without drinking and I thought, there ain't no way I'm going to make it a weekend. There ain't no way. It's not going to happen. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, I made it through the weekend. And one day at a time, I've never taken a drink since. And it's been over 30 years.
Wow.
Over 30 years. And it has been amazing. I had to purposely not do things, mm-hmm. not hang out with old friends.
Right.
I had to purposely not, you know, not go somewhere where that was selling alcohol.
Yes.
I had to purposely not go party on a beach somewhere with my friends who were hanging out in the hot summer days with the nice cool breeze.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
I had to purposely not do things. But God honored me and helped me to stop drinking and doing the drugs. And I am so thankful for, I'm so thankful for the freedom that he gave to me. It may not come like some people overnight.
Right.
It may not be that way. Everybody says, oh, I stopped drinking, you know, just like that. Well, it doesn't happen that way with all of us.
No, it doesn't. And God gave you the clue. The
yes.
heart and the mind has to be in the same
direction.
Same direction. You know, we got to have the same trend of thought. And I think when he told you that, that was your key opener.
That was, because
yeah.
I had never thought that my mind was not focused going the same direction
mm-hmm.
as my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who would think of that? You know, and I remember God speaking it so clear to me
yeah.
and it making sense to me. Like, you know, because my thoughts, you know, or when can I get the next, you know, bottle of beer? When can I get the next drug? When can I go party the next thing?
Mm-hmm.
My mind was always on that. You're constantly thinking,
right.
you know. But my heart really wanted to be a Christian. I knew
right.
what it was to be a Christian. And I knew I couldn't do it as long as I was drinking. You know, and so I'm so thankful for that time, and it finally lets me, you know, through a rough marriage, I wound up coming into Marion, and it was tough because I still had no self-esteem, and I was being abused really bad, and you know, I was in a parking lot one day in Marion.
So you're saying that you remarried.
I remarried.
Okay.
Yeah, I remarried, and I'm remarried to a monster of a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he broke my nose, broke my jaw, he broke my ribs. He, you know, would burn me with cigarettes. He raped me. He did horrible things to me, but it was by the grace of God that I got out.
Mm-hmm.
It was by his grace. He always put a gun to my head and always threatened to kill me and everything. And by this time, you know, I still had so much guilt, especially over my son and leaving him on the streets and everything. I had so much guilt that I thought whatever, you know, whatever was happening to me was deserved. that I deserved it, and that it was God's
because
way of punishing me. Right.
Your
I had left my family. I had, you know, left my son, lived on the streets. I was this no good person, you know. But I felt, you know, like I deserved to be beat on. I begged for more. It is sad to say that I begged to be hit, and I would rather have that than to be left alone. I didn't want to be alone.
Right.
So I would take the beatings and the horribleness and want more, mm-hmm. you know, in a strange way, because it was better than being alone.
Okay.
I was threatened all the time, you know, and I even had to protect my child. But God loved me so much
yes.
that one day, I'm going to tell you this story, and it still gets to me to this day. It was after years of being, you know, he threatened to kill me every year and every day, and I would live and eat on 79-cent Gino pizzas. That's the only thing I was allowed to eat for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. These two little bitty 79-cent Gino pizzas. And he had so much control over me that I couldn't turn the channel on the TV. I couldn't flip a light switch on. I couldn't, you know, I couldn't handle money. I wasn't allowed to have any money in my hands. So when it got so bad that one day I knew I was about to die. I knew it, everything inside of me. He hated the baby. He hated it crying all the time. My daughter, he hated her crying. He'd scream at me all the time. And so I knew that I was about to die, and that he was going to make true on his promises. And I remember out of the blue calling my mother, and me and my mother hadn't really talked since my days of the streets.
Yes.
And I, you know, I told her, I said, you know, I think I'm about to die, and he's going to kill me,
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And she goes, well, let's just pray that God moves him out of the way and or melts his heart. And I
right.
thought, and I thought to myself, what good is that going to do me?
Right.
What good is that going to do me? And so I listened to her pray, and I hung up the phone, and I thought, she just sentenced me to death. I'm going to die. She's not going to come get me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get the baby, and I'm there and everything. I'm waiting for my husband to come home from work. And he finally comes in, and he starts screaming at me, telling me to take that baby down, to walk it down to the, there was a cash and carry in Marion, and he says, you walk down that hill and you take that baby and don't you come back. Don't you come back for 2 hours, and I mean it. Don't you come back 1 minute before. And this was dead of winter. I had no friends. I knew nobody. You know, I had no help.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember bundling the baby up and taking her down to the cash and carry, and standing in there with no money, no way of going anywhere, not knowing what to do. And I literally walked around in there for the 2 hours, and I began walking finally up the hill. And I knew the moment I got in the door, I would be dead. I knew I was walking to my death.
Right.
I knew it. Everything inside me knew it. And I got to the door, and I went to open it, and I took a deep breath, and I said, God, if I deserve this, okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not thinking about my baby, because when you're an abused wife, you don't think about those things.
Right.
You're just really beaten down. And I remember opening that door with that deep breath, and I walk in, and I see the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life at one time. The greatest thing I ever saw. And that was absolutely nothing. There was no furniture. There was no pots and pans.
Really?
There was nothing. Absolutely nothing. But I fell on the floor with my baby in my arms, and I cried, and I thanked God for seeing nothing. It was the greatest nothing I had ever seen in my life. And he had just spared my life.
Amen.
He had just spared my life.
Complete opposite of what you thought.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
I
like,
thought I deserved it.
That prayer your mother prayed.
And the prayer, it was actually came true.
Yes, yes,
it,
yes.
God moved him out of the way.
Yes, yes.
That is amazing. Yes. That it's even hard for me to this day, because that was the greatest thing I've ever saw. Mm. You know, I was so beaten down and so abused, so bad, and I really thought I deserved it. I thought I did. You know, and it was, you know, God just literally, and there was this little old man that I used to see out the window sitting at the picnic table. And I went downstairs when I got myself together and asked him if he could take me to get some help. And I remember sitting in the welfare office crying, saying, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" And God led me to the right person, the right people, mm-hmm. and helped me. And that was my journey back into, you know, civilization, real, and church. I still wasn't, you know, I was still messed up, but I was coming closer to God than I ever had.
Right.
But I still had some problems. I still had my own rebellious spirit, and I liked to fight. When I was an alcoholic and a drunk, I would pick on big people, not little people. It was the big people I picked on. I always thought I was 6 foot tall, man. I could bang, you know, I could whip anybody.
Right, right.
You know, and you do, and drugs and alcohol do that to you. Well,
Yeah,
it does. It makes you feel fearless. Oh, Lord, I tell you, you know. And so one time I was in this parking lot at McDonald's, and this pastor will tell you this. He used to tell everybody that I was in the parking lot fighting. I was in a big, huge fight on stuff. And this pastor came walking over and stopped the fight. And there I was with him, and he's looking at me and everything. And he starts telling me, you know, about his church and how he loved God and everything. And I thought, that's nice. And he started inviting me to his church and everything. And I thought, I ain't going. There's no way I ain't going. I'll just, you know, he told me exactly where it was and all of that. But there was something about that pastor. The love of God in him just boomed. Oh, my goodness. It was so, you could see it all over him. And so after a few weeks, I thought, I'll go visit his church.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into his church, and it was like hearing my dad all over again.
Okay.
And I felt the love and saw the love in his heart, and it made me want to love God that way. Pretty soon he would start saying, "Well, do you know any songs?" I'd be like, "No, No, not one. No, don't.
So
I don't know any."
Here we go with the music, right? Okay,
yeah, I'd be like, "Nope, uh-uh." You know, and he goes, "No, do you know any?" I said, "I know some that my dad used to sing and everything." He goes, "Well, why don't you sing us one?" "Oh, no, that's okay. You know, I don't think so." And he really, for 6 months, was on me constantly. "You need to sing. You
right.
need to sing." So one day, all of a sudden, I said, "Yes, I'll try it." I walked up and sat down at a piano. Don't even remember learning how I learned to play a piano.
Or when, huh?
Yeah, I don't remember ever learning how to play. But I sat down and started playing the piano and started singing. And from that day on, my phone has always rang of people wanting me to come to sing. That's how my singing started.
Mm.
It's not because I thought I had anything, because I didn't know I had a thing. Had no clue. If I'd have known I could sing or carry a tune, you know, I wouldn't have laid in the gutters in the streets. I would have did something. You know, but I didn't know.
But maybe,
you know, but God knew.
Yeah,
God knew
he
that
did.
He had put that in me years ago, and that I actually was paying attention in church. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you think your little kids are not paying attention. You know, they're just playing and carrying on while church is going on.
Yeah.
But you don't know what's going in their ears and what's going out of their ears. I was listening to my dad preach, but I was also listening to the songs he sang, you know, and the music of my church.
Right.
So, you know, here I was. People started just constantly asking me to sing. And I couldn't believe it. But it was the only thing I had to give God back.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell them, I'd sing to the cows if you'd let me. I would sing to the cows on stuff because that's all I've got to do is to give back to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's my way of saying thank you.
Right.
You know? And so that's how my journey with music really started from just that pastor. And he would always laugh about how he met me in a parking lot fighting and everything. And he had his hands full with me.
Yeah.
He really did.
Right.
'Cause I needed maturity and being a Christian. I was still acting up and still doing things and everything, but he would keep loving me to God, you know, and he'd tell me to do something and I'd say, I'm not doing it, and I'd go home and cry. I'd cry and say, God, I can't do that, and I would go right back to absolutely. Pastor Fred Buckner was my mentor, and he pastored the church in Marion Enterprise Baptist here, and I became a choir director for 14 years there. 14 years of boot camp it was to me. It taught me. It growed me as a child of God. It matured me. It brought character in me. So many things happens when you were alcoholic and a drug addict and all those things, you know, and God gives you life, then you got to grow and you have to mature and everything. I didn't know how to love people.
Yeah.
I couldn't love myself.
Yeah.
I had no clue what it was to love people. None. And then I didn't know that you were supposed to love God back. I didn't know that.
Who would know that? I mean, it takes, that's like a revelation.
It takes time. Yeah, it takes time. You know, you don't know that it's supposed to be a relationship with God. I always heard God love me.
Right.
But I didn't know I needed to love him too.
Yeah.
I know. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and sing a song.
Oh, please do.
I hope I can do this. And it's a favorite song of mine that says, "Keep me in your will." You hear this clicking. It's just this machine.
She's just getting her music set up.
I'm getting the music set up. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. Hopefully you're having a good time listening to Annette. Well, she's not a drama queen.
I love the words to this song. Sometimes I think I'm in control, and I act so foolishly. Facing problems on my own, I don't know what's best for me. My mistakes, the time to start, all the plans that you have made. Lord, keep me in your will, so I won't be in your way. Put me where you want to, not where I want to be. If I could ask for things I want, just give me what I need. When I complain from time, won't be in your way. Remind me, Lord, I'm just a glove in which you place your hand. Not my will, but yours be done. Though I don't understand the best plans I've ever made, somehow I always go astray. So keep me in your will, so I won't be in your. Put me where you want to, not where I want to be. If I should ask for things I want, just give me what I need. When I complain from time to time, forgive me, Lord, I pray, and keep me in your will, so I won't be in your
by Annette and her voice. Lovely, lovely.
Oh, God is so good. I love the words to those songs.
Yes.
I never sing a song that I don't absolutely love the words, and they mean so much to me. So many times I went my way, but God wanted me to go His way,
and
that's my desire, you know, today is to go His way,
right,
and be in His will, not my own, because I've messed it up so bad, you know, and I'm so thankful that every day I just want to do what He wants me to do. I've traveled for 20 years singing all over. I have 7 albums and 3 videos and a book now, Hiding in Private Place, and God has blessed me. He's blessed me so much. It was in Pastor Fred Buckner's church that I learned that God had a mission for me. He wanted me to do something for Him, and that was to sing. And oh, I love to sing to God. I just love to sing to Him. It's like He's standing in front of me. I just want to sing to Him, and I love that. And you know, He's been so good to me. I've told you in the beginning when we first started out that, you know, I battled with cancer, and I've had 23 surgeries of cancer, and you know, the battle, when I finally gave my life to the Lord, really sincerely gave my life to the Lord and was really living for God, Satan really hated it.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted me dead.
He
thought I would die on those streets. He did. He really thought that He could make me die on those streets and leave me there. And I almost did, but God said no.
Amen.
God said no. And then when I finally, you know, give my life to the Lord and was traveling and singing, I started battling with cancer real bad. And there's been 3 times that I know of, I can remember, that they gave me up to die.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me up to die of cancer. And I had 3 spots on my liver, and there was no way that I was supposed to live. But I got to tell you, this miracle that God did for me. I had gotten to where I was 67 pounds, could not hold food in at all. Nothing would stay. And I was so little, and I was all, you could see my backbone from my stomach. You could literally see my bones just sticking everywhere, my cheeks and everything. You could see the bones. And I literally looked like I was dying, and I was. And they said that there was 3 spots on my liver and everything, and was giving me up. And I remember, you know, being in the hospital so weak. I got to the point that my husband would have to carry me and everything, and he'd have to carry me into the house and everything. I couldn't dress myself. I just was in such bad, and people would come to see me. This is kind of funny in a little way, because people who had something against me or was mean to me in my life were all of a sudden coming to my house and coming to my bedroom where I was in bed at, apologizing to me before I died.
Okay, what was the purpose of that? You want to be struck down, or they wished you ill will?
Yeah, right. They were trying to clear their conscience,
right,
you know,
okay, yeah.
Not have these people showing up in my house, complete enemies of mine, completely horrible people, mm-hmm. and, you know, wanting to apologize and get it right before I died. It was funny, but I was in the hospital at this time and everything, and so weak and hooked up to all kinds of machines and all that, and they were saying that I was going to die. Well, there was a revival going on at our church, and I was going to, and I was leading the choir, running a choir then, and I wanted to hear that choir sing one more time. Just before I died, I wanted to hear them sing one more time, and so I got my husband to get me out of the hospital and against the doctor's orders and everything, and he took me into the church and put me up on the pulpit and everything, and I was hanging on to the piano for dear life, just barely hanging on, so weak. And church is, you know, going on, and the church is, the choir sounds so beautiful. 67 pounds, yes, and could not keep no food in for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Nothing would stay. And so I'm hanging on to the piano at the church, and people are praising God, and the choir is singing beautifully, and I kept singing, God, when is my turn? When is it my time? You're going to heal me. When is it my time? People kept asking me, why don't you get prayed? No, God didn't say so.
Right.
Well, I will when God tells me to. And so service is coming, and it's going, and it's ended. And all of a sudden, I see the evangelist in the back of the church. And God spoke to me right then. He says, I want you to get prayed for now. I was like, okay, so I motioned to my husband. He gets me back there to the pastor, the evangelist, and they start. I looked right at him, and I said, I'm going to die within days if you don't pray for me right now. And God says, now's the time. And so they began praying for me, and it literally felt like somebody took their fist and hit me in my stomach so hard, and it backed me up. It backed me up, and I knew all I could do was cry. I knew I had been touched, but I didn't know how,
right,
how to what extent.
Mm-hmm.
So I get my husband to finally take me home. I'm still crying all the way home. He gets me, puts me on the couch and everything, and all of a sudden I feel something I haven't felt before.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what it was, and I kept thinking, what is it that I'm feeling?
Right.
I was hungry, and I had not been hungry for 2 years.
Oh,
right. And I asked him, I said, will you go and get something out of the refrigerator, and if I can keep it in, I know God's healed me.
Amen.
Well, he did. He went and he got me a cup of pudding.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, this is the test. We're going to see,
right,
if this works. And I ate that cup of pudding, and it stayed in my stomach for the first time. I knew
2 years.
I was healed. I knew from that point. Doctors will all do. They all get better before they die.
Yeah.
You know, no. I was healed.
Jesus.
And from that moment, people and churches from all over the country heard about it and started calling me and saying, "We want you to come sing. We want you to come tell your story." You know, And so that's how I got my journey in traveling and singing and everything in my calling, was because God, right. God healed me. Mm-hmm. He healed me, and it made such an impact on people and them hearing what God had did for me and stuff. And that's how amazing God has been in my life. You know, I've battled hard. I am a well put together project of God. It cracks me up. It really does. It's so funny because half of me can be left on the nightstand. Crack me up. My hair, my teeth, my boobs, everything can be just put over on the nightstand. You can't even find me afterwards, I'm telling you. And I would scare the life out of you in the mornings. I would scare, because I do not look like me. But I scare my husband's over here laughing too, because I would scare you to death and everything, because I don't look like me. One time somebody, I wound up in the hospital and I didn't have my hair on or anything on, and they walked in the room and then they walked out thinking it was somebody else.
I didn't know who you were, right?
Crack me up. It is hilarious. You have to live, you know.
Huh?
My husband wants me, he's here with me, supporting me today, and he wants me to tell you about what happened to me 2 years now. It's been 2 years ago.
16th.
On the 16th.
A song after that.
Yeah, and then we're going to do a song after this. But not only have I had cancer real bad and my lung has collapsed 3 times telling me I'd never sing again, but I just had a triple bypass. I had a massive heart attack, so bad. But for 3 days, I didn't go to the hospital because that stubborn streak I have is not good always for me. Having a stubborn streak, it can get you in trouble.
Yes.
And so I had a heart attack for 3 days before I actually decided to go into the doctor's office. And it was a miracle because not even the doctors knew what was going on. And they said, we'll put you in the hospital and we'll run some tests. Well, they let me go home and get my clothes and everything else. And here I was having a massive heart attack.
Wow.
Time I got to the hospital, their test had come back that I was in trouble. I was in serious trouble. And then they had to send me to Riverside. And the first night at Riverside, the doctor said there was nothing they could do for me. I was in too bad a shape. Mm-hmm. But thank God, the next day...
Yeah.
Thank God, the next day I became stable enough that they said they would try. And they did a triple bypass on me. And, you know, I have struggled, you know, since then. I have struggled, but I'm still singing and I'm still doing what God has called me to do. And I'm a born fighter. And God took all that stubborn streak that I had all those years and made me into a fighter for life.
Right.
You know, a fighter for Him. You know, a fighter to worship Him.
Yes,
and He took and took all that thing that I used against myself as a kid, you know, and could be used for the devil, but God made it used for Him. And so it's amazing, you know, it's amazing how much strength God can give you to fight and to keep going and to keep, you know, keep moving forward and stuff. I love to move forward and I love to fight for life, you know. And I'm going to sing another song here. I haven't sang this one for a while, but I want to sing it to you because it just describes what God did for me. It describes what He did for me and how He set me free, you know. And He set me free. I'm fixing the machine right now. He set me free from all the drugs and all the things that, and all the demons in my life that, you know, harmed me and tried to kill me. And I'm so glad that I'm free.
Turn it down a little bit.
I already did. I have to hear it.
We can trust in just a thing.
Wrong one.
Let's
try that again.
Bear with us just another moment.
Just another moment.
She will have the machine ready and the song on in her lovely voice. What is this one called?
Nope, hang on a minute. It's not working for me. This one is called I'm Free. If I can get it to go. Okay, now let's see if this will work.
Okay.
Yes. Listen to the words of this. So long I search for life's meaning, enslaved by the world in my greed. Then the door of my prison was opened by love, and the ransom was paid, I was free. I'm free from the guilt of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free from the guilt that I carry, from the dull, empty life I'm set free. But when I met Jesus, He made me complete. He forgot the foolish child I used to be. The past. I traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. For I traded my shackles for a glorious song. When you have been freed from the shackles and the guilt of your past, oh Lord, there is nothing like it. There is nothing like it at all. I tell you what, I was so guilt-ridden. I went through so much because of the guilt that I carried. But I don't have to carry it anymore. You know, when you ask God into your life and you say, God, please forgive me, He really does.
Yes, He does.
He really does. That quickly, He forgives you and He forgets.
Yes.
You know, I didn't know that for many years. I didn't know that God forgot my sins.
Right.
I didn't know that because I couldn't forget them.
Yeah.
But
reminding
ourselves,
right?
Yeah, we keep reminding ourselves, you know, over and over what we've done wrong. We've did this, we've done that, and it's a record player going on and on and on in your mind. But God don't remember. God puts a stop to it, and that's it. You don't have to. You don't have to remember anymore. And people throw it up in your face, but God never throws it up in your face. Here I was willing to walk to my death. I was willing to walk to my death because I believed God was punishing me, but God let me walk to my life. He let me walk to my life, you know. And that baby girl, she's a grown woman, works for OSU now, and she's an amazing mom. And I've got three grandkids, three.
Tell her about Bobby.
Yeah, and my son, the son that I tossed away and don't remember signing him, God brought him back to me 20 years later. And it is amazing.
That's a miracle.
He's amazing. He has every reason to hate me, but he don't. He loves me dearly. He loves me so much. And to be able to stand in a room with him with nothing between us is a miracle that I can only tell you that God himself can do. He's got a beautiful wife and two kids and my grandbabies. I have three grandbabies, and I'm still, you know, working for the Lord. I'm still singing, and I'm still, you know, work at the hospital, Marion General as a chaplain out there, and, you know, I'm still moving forward, you know, and I'm not perfect. I'm not like anybody else. I'm not perfect, but God is.
Yes, he is.
God is, and we can strive every day to be like him, every day, you know, and I'm thankful. When they would do surgeries on me, and they'd say, you know, we don't think you're going to make it through, and they would keep nerves one. They kept me awake. And they said, we think if we was to put you asleep that you might not make it out. So they kept me awake. And I remember looking up at the doctors, and they all had this serious look on their face, both of them, saying, I didn't know it was this bad. You know, and I'm on the table thinking, oh my God, you know, you know. And but one time was really, really neat. And I guess I went through it because God needed me as a witness. I was having a surgery and everything, and I was really scared. Well, in the operating room, I was singing. They said I was singing in my sleep. And I was singing Amazing Grace. Yeah, and they said the doctors were all so happy about it that they went out of the room singing Amazing Grace and went into the other room where there was a lady that I witnessed to right before I went into surgery. There was somebody else that was going into surgery. Well, they went into there singing Amazing Grace. The doctors did.
Look at God.
Because I was asleep, and I was singing Amazing Grace.
Yeah. In your spirit. That's mm-hmm. all, you know, he put that in you, and he wanted to hear it.
He wanted to hear it, you know?
Amazing he is.
You know, because they always say, be careful what's on your heart, because when you're when you're out of it and unconscious, it may come out your mouth. They didn't know that singing would come out of my mouth, you know? Yeah. They knew I was the singer, and I remember the doctor saying, well, sing us another one. I'm thinking, huh? But that's our amazing God.
Yes,
that's our amazing God.
Amazing. Oh,
he
wow.
is amazing and everything. And if you've got children out there and you don't know where they're at, you know, God knows where they're at.
Yes, he does.
God knows where they're at. If you're worried about them, if you've not heard from them, you know, I know how it is, and I understand, and I'm praying for you, you know. And if you don't know the Lord today, today's the day to get to know him, because he's not that bad. You know, everybody makes him out to be a mean God sometimes, you know, but he's not a mean God. I don't serve a mean God. I used to think he was this big, bad God, and, you know, he was going to beat the life out of me, and he was going to make me just pay for every little thing I've done. But he's not that God. He's not that kind of God. He loves you.
He does.
He really loves you and stuff. And so if you need the Lord, you know, if you want to give your life to the Lord, please find someone. Go to a church. Find someone that will lead you in the Lost Sinner's Prayer.
You're listening to WWGH Radio, LP, Marion, Ohio.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm going to give it now, 740-383-9944. We're doing current events, and we're going to fly through them here. If you want to join in at any time on any current event, any memory, anything you want to throw on the table, do it right now, 740-383-9944.
The dog in the bank, world famous from St. Martin.
Is that
called
sangria?
Huh?
It's not sangria.
Oh, no, sangria is in Italy. This is guava berry juice.
Guava berry.
Have you ever heard of guava berry?
I have had a lot of guava berry juice, non-alcoholic.
This has got guava berries in it in the bottom, and it's called guava berry rum.
Oh, okay.
Drinking rum and Coca-Cola.
By the way, I do want to wish a happy 95th birthday to Jane Meadows. Turned 95.
Wow.
Yeah,
you have to get her on
a few days ago.
You have to get her on if you get through her secretaries.
Her secretaries are difficult to get through. Once you get to Jane, you're okay, but the secretaries are
it's
a little difficult.
It's a force field it's around.
It's a force field around Jane Meadows. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawn care and landscaping needs. Telephone number 740-751-1783. The WWGH Radio prize policy is as follows. You have 10 days from the day you win the prize to pick the prize up. You can only win one.